outside?
No, good job. My wife likes to rap a lot, just presents. Okay, Romans chapter 5 is where we're going to be today. Romans chapter 5. Hope you all had a good Thanksgiving, but I'm looking forward to, looking forward to coming back and preaching the word and seeing my church family. But Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." You know, we've been talking about Romans, and just to sum up real briefly, Romans talks about, first off, it starts off with the condition of our heart, that we all are condemned before God, that whether or not we have the Jewish laws or abide by those, that every person has a law written on their heart. Everybody believes in some sort of right and wrong. The Bible talks about in the book of Romans how every person is without excuse when it comes to believing in God, because God has revealed himself plainly through the world around us so that we can know that he is there. And Paul's been speaking to Jews and letting them know that their circumcision doesn't count for anything, that their Old Testament law doesn't count for anything, and that God has become the central sacrifice. God himself, revealed in Jesus Christ, has become the perfect sacrifice once and for all, and through him we are justified. Now, what does it mean to be justified? Well, that's kind of a big word, but it just means this. It is just as if I had never sinned. That God looks upon you and says, "You're justified. I see the blood of Christ covering you, and it's just as if you had never sinned. You are not guilty in my presence." And today I want us to look at our giving God and what God gives us as a result of us being justified, as a result of us knowing him. In chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And the first thing that God gives is that God gives us perpetual peace. You know, peace in the Bible is something that, yes, has to do with the present. But peace, when you read the Old Testament, also has to do with the future. It's this idea, this Jewish idea of shalom, of God's perfect present peace being in this world. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7, the Bible says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In Isaiah chapter 32, verses 15 through 17, it says, "Till the Spirit is poured on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile land, and the fertile field seems like a forest, the Lord's justice will dwell in the desert, its righteousness live in the fertile field, the fruit of that righteousness will be peace, and its effect will be quietness and confidence forever." You see, peace in the Bible isn't just a peace that's centered on now. It's not just centered on your circumstances today, but peace in the Bible is looking towards the future, whenever God will come and make everything right. You know, as a Christian, there should be nothing that could ever steal your peace. As a Christian, there should be nothing that could ever take your peace away. Why? Because you know who's in control today. You know who's going to be in control tomorrow. And listen, you already know how the future is going to play out. You know, if you're a Christian, sickness can't steal your peace. One of the worst things I ever went through was watching my papa go through Alzheimer's disease and seeing this great man of God who would get up early every morning. I mean, I could just bank on it. If I was at his house this week for Thanksgiving and And I got up early, which I don't do anymore, but I did when I was younger. But if I got up early, he would be in his recliner studying a Sunday school lesson and reading the scripture. That's the kind of man that he was. And one of the toughest things I had to do growing up was to watch him with his Alzheimer's disease get to a point where he was just wandering around the house, clinging to a diaper, not knowing who he was or where he was or why this thing was on him. You know, and I would be lying if I said that that was an unpeaceful time. But looking back on that and thinking about it now, I can have peace about it. Why? Because Jesus Christ was in control of my papa's life. Because Jesus Christ was present in that time of suffering. And because my papa is present with Jesus Christ today. And there should be nothing that can take away our peace. You know, oftentimes when we speak of peace, we simply mean absence of conflict. But that is not what peace meant to a New Testament writer, to the Greek thought or the Jewish thought of peace. But peace has to do with completeness. Completeness. That because you know Jesus Christ, there's nothing lacking in your life. There's nothing missing in your life. And I just want to ask you this morning, when you take inventory of your heart, do you sometimes find that there's something missing? You know, I have to be quite honest, at times I can be materialistic just like everybody else. You know, Black Friday on Friday, Cyber Monday coming up on Monday, and there's certain things that for somehow I get this thought that I think that if I just buy these things, I'm going to have this pleasure. If I buy these objects, I'm going to have this joy. And there will be for a while, but it'll be gone. Because something that's temporary can never truly fulfill me. But something that's eternal will fulfill you eternally, and that can only be found in God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we've been made complete. The Bible teaches us that we can have peace through suffering. Through suffering. In verse 3, it says, not only that, but we rejoice in sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because of why? Because of God. And as Christians, we can have peace through suffering. You see, we tend to view God some ways as an airman thinks about his parachute. It's there for emergencies, but he hopes he'll never have to use it. And we sort of approach God the same way. You know, God is there for emergencies. God is there for important times when we think we need him. You know, I went to school on a Christian campus in college, but I still think the most prayerful times on that campus were right before a major exam. Right before a major exam. Let me tell you, everybody was hitting it in prayer. And I used to have a professor that would come in, and he would pray the worst prayer possible. He'd say, God, reward each of these students according to the degree to which they have studied. Amen. And I would just think, I'm in trouble. You know, like this, there's no emergency situation, you know, floaty that's going to come up and save me right now. But isn't it sad that we think of God as just something that we have to use? He's our parachute. He's there in case we need him, but we really hope we don't have to. But we can have peace through suffering. You see, God brings suffering in our lives for a lot of reasons. And not just physical suffering, but also spiritual suffering. You know, I think it's a fact of life that it's a whole lot easier to talk about physical pain than it is to talk about your emotional or your spiritual pain. It's a whole lot easier to go up to somebody and say, my tooth is aching, versus saying to that person, man, my heart is breaking, or my life is torn up spiritually. But God is there to be with us through both situations. Through both situations, God is there for us, and God is there with us. And listen, I just want to tell you, if you're suffering today, number one, if you're a Christian, you're not suffering alone, because Jesus Christ is right there with you. And if you believe that you're on your own, that's a lie from the enemy, that's a lie from Satan, that's a tactic to isolate you, to get you by yourself, to tear you down and break you down and turn your head and your face and your attention away from God. But listen, we're not suffering from anything that a good resurrection can't fix. Amen? We're not suffering from anything that the resurrection can't fix. You know, someday I know that a lot of us believe we're going to get a new body. And some days I think, man, I'd like, you know, that wouldn't be a bad idea. And the older I get, the more I think that. And some of you are thinking, you're a baby. Well, I'm going to turn
34 on Tuesday, so I don't know why I've been thinking about aging this week. But listen, you're not going to get a new one. What's going to happen is your body is going to be remade. Your body is going to be remade. Now, the return of Jesus Christ, you're going to be lifted up out of the tomb, and your body, this physical body, the one that you have, is going to be remade. And every ailment's going to be gone. Every disease is going to be gone. You're not going to think about your worries. You're not going to think about your concerns. You're not going to owe anybody money. You're not going to owe your boss any labor. You know, it'll just be like Thanksgiving, sitting on the couch watching football, eating turkey. I mean, if heaven's like that for me, as long as the Cowboys win, praise God, it's going to be a wonderful place. But we can have peace, peace in this life, because through Jesus Christ, death has been conquered. You know, I want you to think about, skip ahead with me to chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. And this phrase there, sin is not counted where there is no law, doesn't mean that there were people who were sinless, or if somebody didn't have the law, that it wasn't counted against them. But this is a phrase that people would throw out at Paul and say, Paul, you know, you're saying that the law, what the law does was show sin. And what that the law does when we know right from wrong is it convinces us of death. Well, some people didn't have the law, and here's Paul's response. But death reigned from Adam to Moses. And Paul's response is, listen, everybody has died because everybody has sinned. But listen to verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more has the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Listen, if you're a Christian, you have a free gift from God that is salvation from Jesus Christ. And just because Jesus Christ died and because he rose again, he guarantees, his resurrection guarantees that one day you and I are going to be raised and that we have a perfect, perfect peace. The next thing that we have from God is we have absolute access. We have absolute access. In verse 2 of chapter 5, it says, through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And listen, we have access to God as Christians, not only to God himself, but to the grace of God. And to the grace of God. Listen to what the Bible says about grace. Verse 17, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Through the one man, Jesus Christ. Listen, when Jesus died on a cross, there was grace enough to cover every sin that you're ever going to commit. And not every sin that you're going to commit, but that every sin that every human being in history has ever committed. And I want you to stop and I want you to think about that. You know, we undervalue the grace of God. You know, this past weekend, Fidel Castro died at the age of 90 years old. Fidel Castro was a tyrant. Fidel Castro was somebody who raped any woman that he wanted to rape. He was somebody that shot any opponent that he wanted to shoot. He was an evil, vile man. But listen, God's grace was enough so that if Castro ever at any point in his life decided to turn away from all that and to confess Jesus Christ as his Lord, that, listen, God was able to forgive his sin. Because grace is that powerful. You know, why is it that we think the sins that we commit can somehow keep us away from God? Can somehow keep us distant from the Lord? But listen, if you have Christians, no matter what, you have access to God. Why? Because of the grace that is given through Jesus Christ. You know, there's a law of physics that for every action, there's what? There's an equal and opposite reaction. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, which means that you can apply any force, and any force that you apply, there's going to be a force applied back equal to that. And listen, this isn't a license to sin, and some Christians use it as abuse to sin. I can sin all I want to, and God's grace is enough to cover me. And the answer to that is yes, it is. It's something not to be abused, but yes, it is. And some of us today, we need to get over past sins. We need to get over things that we are doing or have done and realize that we have access, The next thing that the Bible that says that God's gives us is that God has given us the gift of lavished love. That God has given his love and poured it out into our hearts. In verse 5 it says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And one of the things that God gives us if you have a right relationship with God is the Holy Spirit who comes and indwells your life and creates in you Christian character, who creates in you any good thing that you do as a Christian is through the power of the Holy Spirit given to you by God. And the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he does is he pours God's love into our hearts. He gives us God's love. Listen, this time of year is a time of gift giving. This time of year is a time of gift receiving. But one of the things that we need to stop and think about is the great amount of love that we have access to as a result of the gift given to us by God through Jesus Christ. You know, there's an old legend about King Midas, and y'all heard about him. You know, he's got the Midas touch. You know, that's not just a commercial for a mechanic thing, you know. But he had the Midas touch. And King Midas could touch anything, and it would turn to gold. Of course, that went wrong for him when he was 8, whenever he hugged his daughter and he turned his daughter to gold, as the parable goes. But listen, God has a loving touch. God has a loving touch. And God is seeking you out to fill your heart up with the love that can only come from God. The Bible says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that he has gifted to us. You know, this is an older illustration, and maybe some of you younger people will get it, and probably not the old generation, too. But when I was younger, there was a cartoon about Scrooge McDuck. All right, it's called DuckTales. Woohoo. All right, Scrooge McDuck. And listen, Scrooge McDuck had all kinds of money, okay? He's Donald Duck's cousin, just in case you don't know who Scrooge McDuck is. He had all kinds of money, and he had so much money that he would just jump into his money, and he would swim in it. Like, that was his morning ritual. He would jump into his money and just swim in it. And listen, I don't have that much money, and you don't either. I know that. But listen, every day you can jump into God's love. And you can just allow the love of God to pour out into your life. We have access to that kind of love. And what hinders us from having that kind of love? Well, if it's poured out through the Holy Spirit, then the answer is simple: sin. Sin, not seeking after God, not taking advantage of the access to have we have to God, not asking God for forgiveness of sin, or not repenting of sin, or not spending time with the Lord. You know, all those things get in the way of us being filled with the love that God has for us. But that love is ready there anytime that we need it. God is ready and willing and wanting to pour out his love. One of the last things that God gives us is he gives us a reliable reconciliation. Listen, God does not change. God does not change. In verse 11 it says, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. If you're a Christian, you're joined together with God. You're reconciled with him. You know, some of us, we got together with our families this week. And sometimes there can be tension when you get together with family. Because maybe there's some things that you're not reconciled with your family. And if you're a Christian, I encourage you to reconcile those relationships. To do the best you can to live out the godly example of forgiveness that is given us in the life of Jesus Christ. But listen, our relationship with Jesus Christ, because it's dependent on Christ, not on you. We are always bonded together with Christ if you're a believer. You know, I think about bridges and buildings. You know, bridges have a little gap rods built into them that expand and contract depending on the weather, depending on external circumstances. I remember being at the top of Sears Tower in Chicago one time and walking out onto, they have a sky bridge. So you can stand at the top of Sears Tower, walk out to a sky bridge, and just look straight down at the street beneath you. I didn't stay there for long because my body was like, what are you doing to me right now? But whenever you stand right there, here's what you get that you don't see when you're looking up the building is that building is swaying ever so slightly. You feel that, you just see, and you don't really feel it, but you see the building moving in relation to what's underneath you. Why? Because of external factors and external forces. If that bridge or if that building didn't have some bend to it, it didn't have some give and take to it, it would tear apart, depending on external factors. But God is not like that. There's no bend and sway in his relationship with you. He is bonded to you, and no external factor can influence that. I love what Hannah sang to the Lord whenever she was given a child by God. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, he says, she sang, "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." And our God isn't a bending, swaying bridge or a bending, swaying building. God is a rock. And listen, a rock doesn't have that kind of give and take. God is firm. He's established. And if you've been justified, if you've been relied upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you are reconciled to God. Well, with all these things that God's given us, what should we do? What should we do as a response? Well, one of the things that the Bible teaches us is that, listen, we should boast. We should boast. And we should boast loudly about what God has done for us. You see, he's been talking to all these Jewish people that wanted to boast and how righteous they were. Look at me, I keep all the rules. Look at me, I've kept all the laws. They wanted to boast in their circumcision. Look, I might not have kept all the laws, but I come from a really religious heritage. My family's religious. I mean, gosh, one of my descendants was Abraham. You know, let me boast in that. Or they would boast in their temple sacrifice, that I'm not like these Gentiles over here, even though I still do the same sins that they do, whatever. You know, I come to the temple, I'm allowed to sacrifice, and they're not allowed to do that. No, but as Christians, we don't need to boast in our own efforts, but we need to boast in what Christ has done for us. Boast in what he has done for us. You know, when a woman receives an engagement ring, one of the first things she does is she gets around her friends and she makes sure that they don't see it. You know, she just hides it behind herself. She puts it in her pocket. She doesn't want anybody to look at her engagement ring. No. Like, do you know anybody like that? I don't, okay? Whenever I got engaged to Jessica, she got a ring. I didn't get anything, all right? She said I got her. I'm like, well, you get me, so what do I get? Some of y'all don't like that, but I'm just gonna get this one. Anyway, but when I gave her the engagement ring, listen, she couldn't wait to show that thing off. You know, and it wasn't a huge rock. I mean, I've got some friends, they bought their spouse a huge rock, all right? I was poor. So I gave her a small little rock attached to my grandmother's old wedding ring, and I think some sentimental value helped with that. But listen, she wanted to show that thing off. The same thing needs to be true with us. Think about the God who has given you perfect peace no matter your circumstances. Think about the God who has poured out his love on you no matter what. Think about the God who's been gracious to you. His relationship with you isn't dependent upon any external factors. It's dependent upon him. He's firm. Man, we shouldn't be able to help. You know, in the New Testament, it says that the kingdom of God is like a city on a hill. You can't help but see it. You know, it's kind of like my neighbor's Christmas lights, you know. You're going to notice them, okay? What's the point of me decorating? I've got the Griswolds living next to me, all right? But listen, you're not going to hide that. It's just right there. You know, the Bible says that old song, you know, when you get a lamp, do you hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah. And so why don't we? Ask yourself, what's holding you back from boasting about the good things of God? One of the other things that we need to do in response is, first off, you need to be sure of your salvation. You need to be sure of your salvation. You know, one of the things that it says in Everybody is born with a sin nature. Everybody is born guilty under God. And if you don't believe that they're born guilty, then at least at some point in their life they have sinned and they are held guilty before God. But the Bible teaches us in verse 6 that while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly, and that he died for us while we were still his enemies. Listen, if Jesus was willing to save you while you were his enemy, why don't you trust him now? Trust him now. And listen, for everybody who is a believer, if Christ was willing to save you while you were still his enemy, don't you think you can count on him now that you're reconciled with him as part of his family, as his friend? You know, this morning I just want to ask as we respond that you would check your own heart, check your own life, and consider, are you grateful for the gifts that have come from God? And I was thinking about that this Thanksgiving, and am I really grateful for the love that God has given to me? No, not all the time, no, not every day. But do we at least attempt, do we at least have a thought from time to time that we're thankful for the Lord? You know, if you're a Christian this morning, do you at least have a thought from time to time that you're going to go about today and you're going to boast about the God you serve and brag about him to other people, about what he's done for you? Where are you finding your peace? Where are you finding your peace? Because anything in this world can